This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice. Oh, very nice. Thank you. All systems are a go out there. Man, I love you guys. I just love you guys. Well, last week we talked about rising to the challenge, and I love, as we started worship this morning, Tisha said, there's a challenge I have for you guys. All right. There's a challenge I have for you. And Jennifer said, I have a challenge for you guys. And the Lord, every day, I hope you thought of this last week, at least more than once after Sunday, about rising to the challenge. And we talked about connection plus challenge equal change. And we just struggle with that so many times. Christians and non-Christians, by the way, struggle with that. I don't want to connect, so therefore I miss out on an opportunity. Or maybe it's, I don't want to connect at a deeper level. I do not want to rise to the challenge. Too much effort. I'm set in my ways. I don't change. Man, I bet you if $1 million came into your life, you'd change in a heartbeat for that $1 million. This is better than that. Some of you are debating that, going, well, give me $1 million, I'll let you know. But we don't want to rise to the challenge, and therefore we don't see change in our lives, and we stand there scratching our heads going, why am I still in the same boat? Why are they getting all the blessings? Maybe they had a deeper connection. Maybe you have a deep connection but didn't face a challenge. Maybe they have a connection but faced a challenge in a different way. But Christians and non-Christians go through that. I don't want to connect to Jesus Christ any deeper than I am. I've met Him. I've accepted Him. I'm going to heaven. I'm good. I'm satisfied. That's good enough for me. You clearly don't understand the gospel as it's written then. Because you are missing out on a greater life. I've accepted Jesus. I talk to Him all the time. Yes, but do you listen to Him? He gave you a challenge. He said, stop doing that. Go there. Start doing this. I was so busy talking to Him, I guess I didn't hear Him over the sound of my own voice wanting to do my own will. I don't want to connect. I don't want to meet the challenge, rise to the occasion, and rise to the challenge. But I sure want to complain when life is sitting right here and it doesn't change for me. Oh, and by the way, when life changes, when you do that, you may go through some rough patches as a Christian. Some of you may say, yeah, I can testify to that. I've been a Christian. I've risen to the occasion and the challenge many times. And the Lord has tested me and the Lord has taken me through things. You guys remember a couple weeks ago? Oh, you're bearing fruit? Let me prune you a little bit. Why? So that you may bear more fruit. Guys, this is all connected. There are ups and downs, however you want to tag them, in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, in our faith journey. There are things that will test our faith. As a Christian, as a connected and rising to the challenge Christian, there are things that will test our faith along that way. But I guarantee it will equal change. Now, we talked a few weeks ago, when He pruned you, you're saying, Lord, that's change. Why are you doing this? Why? So that you may bear more fruit. I don't want to bear more fruit. I don't want to rise to that challenge. He makes it plain and simple. I'm doing this because I need you. And I need you in a greater depth for the church body. Universal and local. We have to connect with each other, by the way. We have to connect with each other. It's not enough to sit at home and connect with Jesus Christ through the radio, TV, whatever it is, the computer, and have no connection to other people. It can be done in certain areas or jobs or whatever. That may be required type thing, but that's very few and far between. But the rest of us, we need fellowship. And he tells us we're to be a part of a body. You know, Kisha was looking at me as we were playing the song. Why? Because I said, I think I have something to say. But I thought the Lord told me, no, if you have something to say, you can say it during your message, Adam. Sorry, Kisha, that's why I didn't have anything to say during the song. I thought I did. But if he doesn't tell me I have something, then I don't. He said, if I've got something else for you to share, I'll give it to you during the message. I want us all to experience life-changing events that God has planned for us. And by the way, sometimes those are tough events, but I want our body of believers to be ready and to be here for each other and to be there for one another. And it says in John chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, you can if you want, but John chapter 6, it says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, this is Jesus speaking, shall never hunger. Wait, there's more. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Are you not tired of being hungry and thirsty? I'm hungry and thirsty every day, Lord. He says, press into me, because I am the bread of life. But you have to come to me. He said, he's calling us. Oh, come to the altar. He's calling us to come to him. I already know Christ. That altar isn't just for those people coming down to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. An altar is for all different purposes. By the way, when you come to me, you must believe in me. Think back a few more weeks ago, or several weeks ago, I was talking about, do you believe? I believe. What? Help my unbelief. He says, for those that believe in me, they shall never thirst. Come to him and believe in him today. Well, there's no special event going on. There's no special music that just pulled at my heartstrings. There doesn't have to be. He's just asking you to respond to his message, which is his word. Jesus says over and over in that John chapter 6, he who eats of the bread never dies, but they have life eternal. Now, if you read on at the end of John chapter 6, it says the same thing that we face today. People fail to face the challenge. Jesus offered them an opportunity to what? Come to him and believe in him. Connect to me, come to me, connect to me, face the challenge, believe in me, and you will never die. And as you read at the end of John chapter 6, my heading says, many disciples turned away. Look around. There are many people that have become complacent, and I'm going to call it COVID complacency. Because during COVID, we got to stay away from people, and there are legitimate reasons. But other people decided, I no longer want to exert the energy to attend prayer of faith, to be a part of that, to press in, to connect with others, to connect with Jesus. Oh, it's too far to go. And it wasn't for the last 3 years, but now all of a sudden it's too far to go. Did you happen to find a church half a mile down the road? I look around, church. COVID complacency has set in, not just in this church, in churches everywhere. In the world, good grief. You can't hire someone at $20 an hour to flip a burger at McDonald's. That's the one down the street from my work is paying. Can you imagine what a Big Mac is getting ready to cost us? A lot more than it does today. We have to connect. We have to rise to the challenge. if we expect and want and desire change. Let me tell you, we may all get to heaven, and I don't think we're going to be embarrassed when we're up there in heaven, but I'm just telling you, as you walk past and you look at so-and-so and say, oh, whew, you've got a little shanty here. It's a gold shanty, but I kind of expected more. Yeah, I wish I'd done more here on earth, because that's what's building our mansions up in heaven. We have to be prepared. We have to know what the Word says. Guys, I haven't even got to the message yet. I'm sorry. I better get there. We'll never get there. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we just were reading for communion. I better get with it, man. This message will be out at 2 o'clock today. While you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want to tell you what I found on the computer. More YouTube. And I was watching more YouTube the other day. I know this will surprise my family for sure. And as I watched it, I found myself tearing up. And then I found myself nonstop crying. I thought, what in the world? YouTube videos. I was just touched by them. I thought, man, you surprised that I was crying watching YouTube videos? No one in the family. Okay, not one single person. But I thought, what was it that I watched? It was so touching. It was people singing in front of their family and friends for the first time. That made you cry? Yeah, let me tell you what made me cry when I watched it. When you see the parents, and there their kids are singing, they're going, oh my God, I didn't know you could sing. Oh, it's so beautiful. And they're crying, or they're just, oh, did you know our daughter, did you know our son could sing like that? And they were blowing their minds. I've never heard you sing like that. I don't know, made me cry, touched me. And I thought, how our Father in heaven must feel when we exercise our gifts. Holy cow, they can sing. Wow, Laren can sing. Whew. And she can sing with her mother. Oh, and by the way, Jennifer, she can sing. And Spencer can sing. And Adam cannot sing. By the way, how beautiful that is, hearing those voices. Because I heard Tisha. And then I didn't know who was who, and I heard a high voice and a low voice, and it was connected and beautiful. And it came together in harmony. And I loved it. I heard one week, I turned around and looked at Spencer. I thought, he's not even singing. It's one of y'all singing, I don't know. Down there in the lower end. But I love it. And what touched me about the videos, like I said, was I thought our Father in heaven must just be filled with pride as his children exercise their gifts. Whether it's speaking or singing or playing or whatever it is, there's so many different gifts. So we just read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. So if you go down just past that, you'll hit verse 12. That's what we're going to read today. I just wanted to get you to 11. Say, right after they had the Lord's Supper, They get talking about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 14, it's a long section, but I'll read through it as quick as I can. I'll take my time, whatever. And it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Pay attention, the Bible is saying they do not want us to be ignorant. So we better listen up. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Verse 3 says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all.
For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. It goes on to say, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. Whew, that was a whole lot, Adam. Well, it was, but it talks, if you go back to verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, I love that. Verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. And it says there are diversity of gifts. Church, within the same building, we each have different gifts. We may have the same as others, but there's many different gifts out here. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries. There's different ministries within the church. And by the way, down the road at other churches, there are different ministries taking place. But it says, but the same Lord. And then it says in verse 6, there's diversities of activities. At different churches and within the church, there's different activities for different people and different age groups. In other churches, they do and have other activities. But it says it is the same God who works all in all. The minute we think this church has it figured out and we're it, let me tell you, if we have it figured out and we're it, there's a whole lot of people missing it. Okay? But this church has its purpose. And we have our ministries and we have our activities. And the one down the road has different things based on who they have and their spiritual gifts. Maybe they have a lot of teachers, and I don't just mean school teachers. I mean people that can teach the Word of God. Maybe they have a lot of teachers that say, oh, I can do that. Maybe there are a lot of retired people that say, oh, I can volunteer to do this, that, and the other thing. Maybe there are people that say, I can give tons of money. Therefore, we can have all kinds of activities. Why? Because we can pay staff to do things, to be here throughout the week. There's all different gifts. And we have to understand that there are different activities, ministries, and gifts within denominations and outside of denominations. Even within a denomination, there's different ministries and activities going on at different churches in the same town, in the same state. Each church is different and has a different mission and purpose that God has given that leader and that church and its location. And we have to remember those things. If we ever think we've got it figured out, there's all kinds of different things. Based on if there's a lot of people with this gift here, first of all, you have to be careful with that. You have a lopsided church. You can be all this way and can't do anything there. You got a bunch of big toes instead of 10 toes, each one different, having a different purpose. You may walk a little funky. Yeah, I see some of you trying to figure out what that looks like. And it can be different. Differences inside and outside church walls. Different activities. King's kids are going to do different things on Wednesday night than the Ground Zero group. The Ground Zero group is going to do different activities than the young adults. And the young adults are going to do different activities than the rest of the group. All within the same church. Why? We have different age groups, different ministries, different activities, and different gifts. We have to remember that. But verse 14 says, the body is many members. It's many members coming together. And in different Bibles, it has different headings. Mine says, spiritual gifts, unity in diversity. And then it has another heading that says, unity and diversity in one body. Do you think we have unity and diversity in one body here? Of course we do. We may have different opinions just between male and female, young and old. Democrat, Republican, whatever else. There's so many things that bring diversity, but it says we should have unity and diversity in one body. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. We have to listen to all those voices. We have to be available to all those voices. Your gift can be used outside the church walls, by the way. Whatever your gift is, you can use it outside the church walls. But it says the benefit should be for the church and church growth. But you can use it outside the walls. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy, if you would. Back a few books from 1 Corinthians towards the back of the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And these things, it's just amazing how they all tie together. Week after week after week, there's different aspects. Even when we get into the Old Testament, they'll tie together with the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. And Paul is talking to Timothy and trying to encourage him to stay strong in his faith and to stay strong to his gifts. And it says, "Let no one despise you in your youth, but be an example to the believers in the word." And he gives them these different areas that he wants them to be an example, and we should take heed to that as well as Christ followers and be examples in these areas. In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. He says, "Till I come, give attention to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. But meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them." I better read that again. Meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them. Why? That your progress may be evident to all. That brings about change. The progress that he talks about is change. It says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who will hear you." As we talk about wanting to find change in our lives and that progress comes with challenges as well. Well, as I progress in this area, now someone's coming from this side and I've got a challenge. I remember our brother Dwayne would talk about challenges often, and he talked about his growth. He said, "Man, just when I thought I was growing, this happens." Excellent job. You're growing. How do you know? Because you recognize a challenge and a test that you faced. And before you said you didn't do that. And I love that. And as a body of believers, when we get together and come together, we also help hold each other accountable. Encourage one another, and we support one another. Because I remember Dwayne said, "Oh," I just kind of looked at it and said, "Oh, I failed a test." No, you recognize a test and you recognize a challenge. That's progress. Oh, and by the way, then came, "I had a test today." Guess what? Aced it, passed it. That's progress. That's change. That's a deeper connection. Facing a challenge, equaling change. When Paul is speaking to Timothy there, he's just trying to encourage him. You've got this gift. God's given you this gift. The eldership of the church, we laid our hands on you. By the way, when you're out there facing life, don't forget this. It's important that you do this. Flip over to 2 Timothy, a few pages back. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. We read this again a few weeks back. And it says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. You remember verse 7? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. We're talking about the spirit God has given us. And so we weren't focusing as much on remind you to stir up the gift of God. But now we're talking about the gifts God has given us. And we have to remember those gifts and rise to the challenge and face those gifts that we have. The message today is pretty simple. It's exercise your gifts. Exercise your gifts. As we face the challenge, one of the challenges is exercise your gift. Our connection is to Jesus Christ. Our challenge is to exercise our gifts today. Last week, our challenge was what? Rising to the challenge of facing challenges. Today, our challenge is exercise your gift. There's several different things in the church that you can do. You can give 1 hour a week. That can be helpful. That can be helpful. If you have 30 minutes to give to the church, that can be helpful. But the church has opportunities. It may be a teaching opportunity. That takes more than half an hour a week, by the way, to prepare and to do that and to study for it and to be ready for that. If you have not taken a spiritual gifts test, you with Pastor Eric or myself, we can give that to you. Now, when you take a spiritual gifts test, you got to be real careful with that. Whoop, I've got the gift of leadership. I have the gift of this and this and this. Sorry, can't help out in King's Kids. I have a gift of leadership. That doesn't mean walk away from an area that needs help. Just because you say, oh, my gift area isn't in that. My wife has a gift of organization for sure, getting things together. My gift in organization is different, okay? I'm okay to put it all right here. No, she's okay to line it out just so. Cindy, don't come out of the nursery and give me a look. But she has a great gift for doing that. But man, if I have to do it, it's not going to be the way she is. It's just going to be, I'm good with this. This is good enough for me. And I don't mean that it's crappy or cruddy, sorry. I don't mean it's junky, can I say that? It just means I don't have the same gift. I don't see things the same way she does. I've said before, people that can restore old cars, old homes, those type of things, they have a different gift because we look at it and go, whew, that car, just smash it flat and get the money out of it for the metal. They go, no, I've got a dream car in that. Okay. They have a different gift. They see things differently than the rest of us do. So when we do the spiritual gifts, be very careful what it gives you. That doesn't mean you can't help in other areas. Lord, they've got a couple leaders. They have Pastor Adam and Pastor Eric leading the church. I guess I can't use my gift of leadership there. Says who? Doesn't mean I need you to come up here and preach on Sundays if you have the gift of leadership. There's other opportunities there. The Bible talks about spiritual gifts in many different places. And it talks about the gifts of tongue and interpretation and all those things. I'm talking about just utilizing our gifts. Rising to the challenge is utilizing our gifts. Well, somebody else is already doing that. Maybe we need two. Maybe we need a backup. Maybe we need a replacement. You know? Someone can play piano better than me. I know they can. Okay? They can have it. I'm not offended. I love playing, but man, if we've got somebody better or someone like Zach, we were just talking the other day. It was just over a year ago that I said, hey, can you help us out on keyboards? Yeah, I don't care if he's got to tape down what key that is down below so he knows what key he's in. I appreciate him being a part of that and using that opportunity and that gift. And sometimes we simply have to ask. We have to respond to the challenge. You know, when we're going to sing, oh, come to the altar as we close here, because I love the song. And it just says, are you hurting and broken within?
And the words of this song are just powerful, because I remember reading them several times as we've sung this song. It says, are you overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Maybe you're overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. But I love this line, have you come to the end of yourself? In church, we've got to decide, have we come to the end of ourselves yet? Oh, not today? Okay, I guess it'll be another day. Because if you're relying on yourself, there will be a point in time that you come to the end of yourself. Because you can't do it. But I love this. Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. And I love that because, again, he said, if you come to me, you will no longer hunger. And there's more value to it. You don't have to be hungry anymore. But if you believe in me also, you'll never thirst again. Or you can get a drink from the well. He has the water that will never run out, that we'll never need again. He says, I sustain life. I am life. I'm the bread of life. John chapter 6. And then it simply says, oh, come to the altar, for the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ when he hung himself on a cross. And he paid a ransom for us and for our sins. Cindy and I attended a memorial service last Saturday for someone. And I thought about that as we sat there. And I thought, Jesus Christ paid a ransom so that that person can now be in heaven. And he's done the same for you and I. But he's done the same for your forgiveness of your sins as well. As the band comes up here and we prepare for that, I want you to think today about exercising your gifts. How can you do that? How can you connect in a deeper level? How can you rise to the challenge? How can you exercise your gifts, which will equal a change in your life? Where you no longer have to hunger or thirst. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that we can proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord, that we can not only connect with you, but that we can rise to the challenge that you've offered so many. Lord, like your word says, many disciples walked away. And they left you. It happened thousands of years ago, and it happens today. That people simply say, no, I don't want to. But today, I'm asking our church body to rise to the occasion, to exercise their gifts, and to press into you. Lord, would you hear us today and meet us where we are today? In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and sing with us?